Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to study your word this morning. I thank you for your truth presented here in the book of Galatians. And I thank you, Father, that as we learn more about what it is that you've done for us, that it causes so much blessing in our lives. Father, I do pray that you would be our teacher this morning. I pray that you would show us wonderful things from the scriptures. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together to study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Let me just read that for you here as we begin. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is a very important section of the book of Galatians. We can see just in the brief reading here as we begin that Paul is going to contrast works of the law with justification by faith. We know that Paul has discussed Abraham, all of the promises that God made to Abraham, and that Abraham received those promises by faith. And so Abraham was Paul's primary example of justification by faith, and we saw that last time we met. Well, now Paul is going to turn back to examine the contrast between works of the law and promises that are received from God by faith. In chapter 3, verse 10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. You'll notice that Paul uses the word for. And when you see that word for, realize that that's a connecting word. He's connecting something he just finished saying with an idea that he wants to share now. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he began with his five questions where he emphasized the importance of faith in contrast to works of the law, how God provided them the Spirit, and they did not receive the Spirit by works of the law, but by hearing the message and responding in faith. Again, in chapter 3, verse 5, he said that not only did God provide them with the Spirit, but he also worked miracles among them. And it wasn't because they did works of the law. It was because they heard the message of the gospel and responded in faith. We also see in Paul's dealing with the example of Abraham in chapter 3, verse 7, he focused in on those who are of faith. And then again in verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Well, now he's drawing a contrast. He says, for as many as are of the works of the law, that's in contrast to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Now he turns back and he says, for as many as are of the works of the law. When we see as many as, we could say, well, that means as many of them, but it also could mean as many of us. This has direct application in our day as well. We want to be sure that we are understanding the truth Paul's communicating in here so that we don't fall into the same error that the Galatian believers were falling into. For as many as are of the works of the law, the law keepers. What is it about the law keepers in contrast to those who are following Abraham's example and believing and putting their faith and receiving blessings? What is it about the law keepers that's different than those who are of faith? It says that those who are of the works of the law are under a curse. And Paul gives scriptural evidence for that fact in the last part of chapter 3, verse 10, he says, because it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Paul here is quoting Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. If we look back in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 27, verse 26, we see these words. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. So Paul is quoting this particular passage in Deuteronomy to show that, hey, you folks who want to put yourselves under the law as a means to being justified before God, you are putting yourselves under a curse, according to Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. That's because it's impossible for us or anyone to keep all the provisions of the law. Just think in your own life how difficult it often is to keep the provisions of the law of the land that you live under. If I obey every single law in this country, my whole life I obey every single law in this country except for one. Even though I have obeyed every other law flawlessly, I have broken that one law, and so that makes me a lawbreaker. And I'm subject to the penalty for breaking the law. And that's what Paul refers to as the curse here. Those who want to put themselves under the law as a way of becoming righteous before God are just putting themselves under the burden or the shadow of a curse. And Paul's scriptural proof of that comes from Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Throughout this section we're looking at today, Paul is going to quote scripture after scripture to prove his case, to show that those people who were impeccable Jews, who know the law of Moses, they should have known these scriptures as well. So Paul is using their own scriptures to defend his position. In chapter 3, verse 11, Paul goes on to say, now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. Paul is restating something that he stated back in chapter 2, verse 16. He stated it in three different ways back there in chapter 2, verse 16, that there's no way that anybody can be justified before God by works of the law. So Paul's first contrast here is that it's impossible for the law to justify a person. And Paul gives the evidence for that. He says that now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For, and here's his evidence, the righteous man shall live by faith. Here he's quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It's interesting, this is quoted in several places in Paul's letters. If you really, really want to be righteous before God, you really want to be a righteous man or woman, one who pleases God in every way possible, then this is how you can do it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. If you want to be a righteous man, well then know that the righteous man shall live by faith. I think it's really important to understand that we can live in righteousness by our faith. We can live. We can actually have life. That's what that verse is teaching us. That putting yourself under the curse of the law is going to lead to death. But if you put your faith in God, you can actually live. Paul is emphasizing the life that we have by faith. Not just the justification, but it actually brings us life. Jesus referred to this as a second birth or a new birth. And this is what Paul is actually saying here as well. No one is justified by the law before God. Because the scriptures themselves say that if you want to live in a righteous way before God, it's going to happen by faith, not by the law. Now in chapter 3, verse 12, Paul goes on to say, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live in them. Here, Paul is contrasting what it means to live by faith with what it means to live under the law. He says, in contrast to a righteous man living by faith, the law is not of faith. In fact, it's totally to the contrary. And he quotes another scripture here to prove his point. And here he quotes Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Basically, what he's saying here is that the law is not based upon faith. It doesn't require faith. It only requires obedience to its rules. The law is something that has to be practiced. And that's what he's saying from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. He who practices them. The law is something that has to be practiced day in, day out, over and over and over, going through the motions. And the one who practices the law lives in the system of the law. And really, he's a hopeless slave to its oppressive and impossible rules. The law's rules are always on his back, always on his case. Now, it's important here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, to see that if we choose to, we can continue to live in slavery to sin if we want to. We can live under a system of law if we want to. Just like in chapter 3, verse 11, Paul said, if we want to, if we choose to, we can live in righteousness by our faith. Well, Paul says, you can choose to live in slavery to sin, but it's not going to be a very good life. In fact, you're going to be under the curse, because if you put yourself under that law as a means to gaining righteousness before God, you're putting yourself under a curse. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul then gives a wonderful truth. He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Those who want to put themselves under the law are putting themselves under a curse. But look at this, Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Isn't that incredible? The word redeemed there is a very important word. It's a Greek term, ex agorazo. It means to be purchased out of the market. The ex is out of, like exit, and the agora is their term for the market, the shopping market. The implication also here is the slave market. Slavery was a fact of life in that particular culture. And when someone would go to the slave market, you could actually buy a human being and become the owner of that human being. But what Christ is saying here is, he saw that we were all in that slave market. We were all there on the block, helpless to free ourselves. There was no freedom for us. We were in the slave market. The best we could hope for was to be a slave to some master that wouldn't mistreat us too much. But here comes this great truth in Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ bought us out of the slave market. Isn't that an incredible truth? It was like he looked down into the slave market and saw that there was absolutely no hope for us. And he chose those that he wanted to purchase out of that slave market. And he bought us out. He released us from that slave market and brought us out to himself. How did he do that? Well, the end of Galatians 3:13 tells us exactly how he did that. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That is how he redeemed us. He took the curse upon himself. We were under that curse. But Christ redeemed us from that curse by taking that curse on himself. And that is how he paid the debt in full. We might ask, well, how could Christ do this? It's interesting because here the Apostle Paul quotes another Old Testament verse. He says that Christ has become accursed for us because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And here Paul is quoting Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. Paul has talked about this curse. The idea of the curse has already been introduced back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul quoted from Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all those things written in the book of the law. So Paul is connecting Deuteronomy 27, 26 with hanging on a tree, Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. I think it's very significant that he used the scripture that talked about hanging on a tree, because the crucifixion of Christ was the place where Christ hung on a tree. And this verse tells us that what was going on when Christ was hanging on that tree, and during that time, he became a curse for us. That is where this whole grand substitution happened, where Jesus took my place, and he took your place, and he bore the burden and the punishment and the penalty for our sinfulness on himself. This really explains what happened on the cross, doesn't it? The curse was lifted off of us, and it was put on top of Christ. Well, that is absolutely incredible. If you'd like to underline a verse in your Bible, this would be a good one to underline. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That is what he did, and that is how he did it. Now, what was the purpose, the ultimate goal that Christ had when he was hanging on that tree? Galatians 3, verse 14 tells us that. It begins with a phrase, in order that. This gives us the purpose for Christ's death on the cross in our place. In the original language, the word order is important for emphasis. And here, we could actually translate this a little bit more literally to read this way. In order that to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come. He's taking that phrase to the Gentiles. And he's putting it up front in the sentence for emphasis. Christ's substitutionary death on the cross was to pay for the sins of every human being, whether they were a Jew or a Gentile. But here Paul is primarily talking to the Gentiles who were believers in the churches of Galatia. And he says, it was so that the blessing of Abraham, the blessings that God promised to Abraham, that all the nations would be blessed through him, it was so that those blessings could come to the Gentiles, that they might be saved in the same way that Abraham was saved, and that now we might be justified in God's sight because of Christ's death on the cross. Again, Paul emphasizes that the Gentiles are receiving this blessing promised through Abraham. This would have been something really new to these strictly Jewish believers who were the false teachers coming into the churches of Galatia. But we need to realize that Paul is going back to one of the promises made to Abraham, and he's saying, look, let me focus on this promise that God said to Abraham that all the nations were going to get blessings through him. Well, this is how it works. When Christ died on the cross, he died in our place, both Jews and Gentiles. He took our place and he paid the punishment for our sin. So the crucifixion of Christ was so important for both Jews and Gentiles. Here, Paul is emphasizing how important Christ's death was for the Gentiles. He goes on to say, so that the promise of the Spirit we would receive through faith. Again, word order is important here in the Greek. And Paul has taken that phrase, the promise of the Spirit, and he's placed it up front in this clause for emphasis. So he's saying, not only to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come, but also the promise of the Spirit we would receive through faith. Again, he's also emphasizing the aspect of obtaining that by faith alone, not by following the law. It's so neat here that we can see part of the Abrahamic covenant was actually being fulfilled right before Paul's very eyes. The salvation of the Gentiles whom Paul was called to minister to, was actually a fulfillment of part of the Abrahamic covenant. This must have thrilled Paul's heart. He must have just been overjoyed to see that many of the promises that God gave to Abraham were being fulfilled right before his very eyes. Toward the bottom of your notes, you'll see a chart. And I think it's important that we take the verses that we've just studied, we place them on this chart in such a way that we can see the contrast that Paul is trying to make here between works of the law and promises that are received by faith. The heading of the chart says, do we become justified or righteous before God? On the left column says, by our own works. We could put chapter 3, verse 10 on the left-hand side, because chapter 3, verse 10 emphasizes that those who are trying to be justified by works of the law are doomed. They're under a curse because of their inability to obey or keep the law. So if you would like to become justified or righteous before God by your own works, just realize that you're putting yourself under a curse. Chapter 3, verse 11, we could actually put on the right side column, which is, we want to become justified by faith in Christ's work for us. Galatians 3:11 is emphasizing that nobody can be justified by works of the law, because justification comes by faith. So here, just in these two verses, chapter 3, verse 10 on the left, do you want to die under a curse? Or chapter 3, verse 11 on the right, do you want to live by faith? This is the clear contrast that we have in this particular section of chapter 3. Well, let's go on and look at verse 12. We could actually put chapter 3, verse 12 back under the left-hand column, couldn't we? Because chapter 3, verse 12 is saying that the law is all about practicing a set of rules. It doesn't require faith. But chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we could put over on the right-hand column, because they're emphasizing that as our substitute, Christ took the curse that was pronounced by the law, so that the blessing promised through Abraham could come to those who believe. So here's a very clear form to see the contrast that Paul is drawing between our own works of the law or righteousness by faith in Christ's work for us. And we can continue to live in slavery under the bondage of the law and sin, or we can accept Christ's gift of redemption by faith and live under God's declaration of righteousness for us. So what about you? Do you want to live a cursed or a redeemed life? Are you living as one who's been purchased out of a slave market by faith in Christ? That is what God wants for you. That is what God wants for all of those who come to Him by faith. The fact is that Christ has paid the price to purchase us out of the slave market, to redeem us from the curse by taking that curse on Himself so that we can be free. Don't live under the left-hand column of the chart, trying to obtain justification before God by your own works and following a set of rules and trying to be good enough. Live under the right side, the right-hand column of the chart. Live by faith in Christ's work for you, and you will be redeemed, and you will be satisfied. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for Ian, for this opportunity to study your word. We pray that you would apply it to our hearts in whatever way you know we need to hear it. Help us, Lord, again to respond to you in gratefulness for what you've done for us. And help us to share these truths with others around us so that many, many more who are in the slave market can realize that they can be set free by putting their faith in the one who would redeem them out of the slave market.